Doctor, always good to have you here. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, well, let's talk about exercising when you're sick. Amanda and I were both saying we know people who just refuse to ever go home and actually just take a nap instead of just keeping on that run or keeping on that weightlifting schedule. Where do you draw the line?
Well, Brian, that determination is admirable. But sometimes it's okay to just take a break. And I think the line is really how you feel. You know, if you can't lift your head off the pillow, then you probably shouldn't be lifting weights in the gym.
That's probably true.
I know people, though. I mean, they'll have a fever, and they'll still go run.
Yeah. Now, Amanda, the thing about a fever is my threshold is 101. If you got a fever, you don't want to make it worse, you know, by exercising. So sometimes it's good not to exercise when you have a fever. When you have a cold, it may be okay, but particularly when you have a fever, it's not a good idea.
So it kind of just depends on the person, really, like how you feel. I mean, are you feeling good? Are you able to move around on the day?
That's right. It depends on the person, and also it depends upon the ailment. You know, again, if you have a fever, you probably should abstain.
Right.
All right, let's talk about colds, because you brought colds up, and I know this is cold season, and so many of our friends have been ailing. What if the cold medicine isn't working? Is there something else that – do you have a cold remedy that's your go-to remedy?
I do, and it's remaining in the bed with head on pillow, avoiding the gym.
Yeah.
But, you know, Amanda, recent research has pointed out that a lot of the cold remedies we take really don't work, that they're no better than placebo, which means you might as well just take a sugar pill.
Interesting.
I prefer chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yes.
And sleep, you were saying.
Sleep.
I mean, your body really needs rest, doesn't
it? And some people benefit from, you know, some warm herbal tea.
Huh.
Oh, my gosh.
As opposed to some of those drugs that you kind of feel like are helping you feel better.
That's right. Sometimes they really don't work.
Interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's talk about virtual doctor's visits. Are these things worth it? What's the downside of maybe one of these virtual doctor's visits?
Well, first, Brian, on the upside is you can remain in bed. You don't have to get your head off that pillow.
I want them.
This
Can
seems
I just
to be
that?
The theme this morning, by the way, remaining in bed. Yeah. In
right.
Case,
and so by smartphone or tablet or laptop, you can connect virtually with your physician. The downside is it's not for everyone and it's not for all conditions, obviously, not for the chronic complex cases or the emergent.
But if it was something that can you ask your doctor, or will you consider offering this kind of service? Are doctors, more and more doctors, offering this kind
more
of service?
More and more are. In fact, it's estimated that by 2016, 40 million Americans will have access and will be using this type of service.
So are we talking about like a FaceTime kind of a thing? Like you just hit a button or whatever, you talk to your doctor, you're laying there in bed and going, yeah, I've got this red mark or whatever, and take a look at it kind of a thing?
That's right. And for simple conditions, Brian, your physician can actually take care of you and even prescribe medications.
Yeah, because I think about it, my children have to go to see their doctor to have their medications updated, and it's a very simple thing. Are you still doing okay? Is everything still good? And we could do that on the FaceTime instead of going to see them.
That's right, Amanda.
Wow.